I love these words from Psalm 19, the 14th verse, and I recall growing up that my pastor used these words to begin his sermon, and so today I will do the same. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Spirit. The concept of spirit can mean many things, right? Think about it. We often say the words, "We're with you in spirit," when something significant is happening in someone's life and we can't be right there with them. When we're at a sporting event, we refer to team spirit. The fans show their enthusiasm and support by cheering on their favorite team. An artist or writer loves to hear the affirming words when their work is praised. You've definitely captured the spirit of the thing. And of course, as people of faith, we speak of God's Spirit living within us, inspiring us, guiding us, giving us strength. Well, the Holy Spirit is a major player in today's gospel lesson from Luke. In fact, from the very beginning chapters of Luke, the Holy Spirit is filling and moving and speaking throughout. In the first chapter of Luke, the Spirit is at work in the stories of Zechariah and Elizabeth and of Mary. In the second chapter, following the Christmas gospel, the Spirit is present in the prophet Simeon's story, holding the newborn Messiah in the temple and pouring out his praise to God because he is filled with the Spirit. In the third chapter, we read a couple weeks ago about the baptism of Jesus and how the Spirit descends upon Jesus like a dove following his baptism. Today we're in chapter 4 of Luke, and this chapter begins with Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tested by the devil. So our gospel lesson today picks up immediately following the passages about Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. The active nature of the Spirit's presence continues. Jesus has returned from his time in the wilderness, and having arrived in his hometown of Nazareth, he goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. Jesus stands up to read, and he's given the scrolls of the prophet Isaiah. Now, it's important to note, Jesus wasn't told what to read. Luke says he unrolled the scroll and found the particular passage in Luke that he wanted to share that day. And what does he read? Well, it has to do with the Spirit, of course. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus says. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The words Jesus speaks that day are especially important because they are the first words that he utters to describe his public ministry. There's no doubt about it. What Jesus shares here is the heart and soul of his coming message and ministry as the Messiah. And he says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So this is a pretty big deal, right? Jesus is proclaiming that he is both the source and the fulfillment of these promises he has just read. He's both present reality and future hope of all God's children who are bound up, pressed down, broken in spirit, impoverished, imprisoned, and ravenous for good news. Both source and fulfillment? Both present reality and future hope? Isn't that like being two things at once? How is that possible? Well, it can be pretty hard to wrap our heads around this, and yet there are moments in life when we can catch a glimpse of this. Think of the young couple just starting their life together. There is joy in the present moment, but anticipation of all that's meant and coming in the future. Think of our expectant mothers who held us first in the womb and then in her arms, already loving us deeply, even before she saw our face. And so perhaps we can envision Christ's presence, both in the immediate moment and in the future God will bring forth. Now, there's a catch to this, because what's good news to some isn't always good news to others. We've heard the saying, good news is bad news is good news. There's an old joke about a pastor who gets up in front of the congregation on a Sunday morning and makes an announcement, I have good news and bad news. The good news? We have enough money to pay for our building program. The bad news? It's still out there in your pockets. Yeah. So, to receive a message like this, it means we need it, right? To receive healing means you've got something you need to be healed from. To hear you're forgiven, it doesn't make any sense unless you've done something that needs forgiving. On an even larger scale, what's experienced as good news by an individual or small group is sometimes the perfect storm to rock the boat of a larger group. Let's take, for example, the exodus of God's chosen people out of Egypt. In confirmation class this fall, our students watched the movie Prince of Egypt. Maybe you've seen it. This movie is featuring the evolving story of Moses, a Hebrew child who has the fortune to grow up in Pharaoh's palace. Slowly, Moses realizes that the blood running through his veins is the same blood as those of the slaves who are giving their lives to build the monuments of Egypt. Moses receives and embraces God's call to win the freedom of the Hebrew people. And so he goes before Pharaoh with the bold message, let my people go. Well, while this comes as good news for those Hebrews, it's pretty bad news for the Egyptians. Without the structure of enforced slavery, how would the majesty and glory of Egyptian rule be increased and sustained? We know that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He refused to listen to God's voice through Moses, bringing plague after debilitating plague upon his subjects. And then, as you know, came the most painful plague of all. The death of all firstborns, Pharaoh's son among them. In anger, Pharaoh expels the Hebrew people, only to change his mind again and pursue them as they cross the Red Sea into freedom. This is a powerful and dramatic story of structured abuse, power, and control. It vividly illustrates the concept of how dismantling and deconstruction of a present reality for one group is unwelcome and a challenge for another. If we are being truthful to the gospel, this is the kind of change and challenge Jesus speaks of through the words of the prophet Isaiah. After all, bringing good news to the poor implies redistribution of resources among those with means. Recovery of sight to the blind, that sounds pretty amazing, but what if I like keeping my blinders in place? What if I believe my viewpoint is the only one that matters, and so that means I don't have to change? I can stay comfortable right where I'm at. I don't have to get involved in anything messy. Letting the oppressed go free, well, that comes with the realization that, like Moses, I may need to risk getting involved to bring about change. And isn't that sort of dangerous? Well, suddenly, Jesus' good news now becomes unsettling on a more personal level. Now, I'll freely admit, these are not questions for the faint of heart. They're not to be taken lightly, whether in today's present reality or even in Jesus' day. Indeed, the verses that follow on to today's lesson that we'll hear in our gospel next week describe how Jesus' listeners turn from openness to anger, realizing that Jesus' prophetic message demands deeper participation on their part. After all, the message of any prophet is a call to change, to risk. So what are we left with today? I think today we have a message that's designed to stir up questions rather than give comfortable answers. And here's just a few questions we can grapple with. What are we being called to wrestle with in order to more fully live the good news of Jesus Christ in the world? How can we seek to bring freedom and wholeness to those who are bound, pressed down by their circumstances? Where does the Spirit need to work in our lives, removing those blinders that limit the vision God has for us as His people? Who do we need to be uplifting in prayer as a faith community, as a community in the larger world, as a people of faith? Where is God's Spirit calling and empowering you to become part of Jesus' proclamation today? Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Amen. Let it be so.